Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, Episode 80, Excitebots the Shit Out of It. This week we've just got one long segment for you featuring Neil, Patrick, Trick, and Tyler talking about some upcoming games and some games they've been playing. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to another Connectivity. We do panels now. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
But anyway, I'm Neil Ronahan, and we are going to talk about some quarter two releases, and all three of them. And then we're going to talk about what we've been playing. And the we in question are Patrick Barnett.
Hello, hello.
Scott Thompson.
Yo!
and the one guy here that I didn't spend a wonderful weekend with 2 weekends ago, Tyler Olu.
At least we don't talk about it.
I wish you were there, man.
Yeah, no, I gotta try. Then I felt bad Guillaume made it. He lives in Canada. I don't even have that Canadian excuse, so I'll have to try next year.
I think Guillaume's closer than you, so I don't know if I'd be that upset.
So anyways, yes.
Yep. All right, so before we get to what we've been playing exciting new stuff. Because March was a very beneficial month, especially like that 1 week period from like Lego City to Luigi's Mansion. There's like 20 fucking games worth playing. But we're gonna get depressing first, and we're gonna talk about what's coming out on the Wii U and 3DS in April, May, and June, or what we in the biz call quarter two.
Ooh.
Or I guess fiscally it's quarter one, but we usually go by the real calendar, not the bullshit money-based calendar. So on Wii U, it looks like our next big release is Injustice Gods Among Us, which is probably going to be gimped because as far as I know, it's not getting any of the DLC, which could end up being like new characters. And for anyone that doesn't know anything about this game, it's this pretty freaking sweet looking Mortal Kombat style game. It's made by NetherRealm, same guys who made the recent Mortal Kombat game, and pretty much the guys who have always made Mortal Kombat. And it's got DC characters in it. So it's like Batman punches Superman in the face while Lex Luthor and the Joker also fight. And it looks really, really awesome for the comic nerd in me. And I know Patrick and Tyler, you guys have also are big DC comics fans. Are you guys excited for this game at all?
Hell no. I don't care at all.
Why
I
not?
Guess I just have like, I had like this weird like phase where I'm like, I don't know if I talked about it before, but I'm just like, oh man, I love arcade games. I bought a Hori arcade stick. I got Street Fighter 4. I got Soul Calibur 4 at the same time, and then I bought all the Street Fighters, and I was like, and I had all the Marvel versus Tatsuno versus Capcom. I bought that arcade stick. Like I was like, all right, now it's time to sit down and play like these 8 fighting games I have, and then I'm just like, oh my god, I'm terrible, and I don't like any of them. So I just like sold off everything. And it was a really weird move, but I did it. So anyways, yeah, I'm not interested at all, especially by something from the Mortal Kombat guys. Like, I don't care about their work at all, so, yeah.
See, my thing is, did anyone play, like, the Mortal Kombat game that came out recently?
It's so good.
It is. I didn't play it until Vita, but it's fucking incredible. And this seems to be going in that same direction. I know that they're kind of doing some different things, I know. I haven't followed it too closely, but I know that Zach should have a preview up soon, maybe even by the time, well, now he's, for anyone that wants to send Zach well wishes on Twitter, he's in the hospital right now, but he should be fine. It's just he's there for a few days. You can go back and listen to other episodes to find out Zach's mystery illness. But anyway, I mean, I think Injustice looks really cool, and Tyler, I totally get your, like, not really being good at fighting games and kind of not giving a shit about them because I'm the same way. Like, I recognize that, like, Street Fighter 4 is incredible, but it just, like, I play it for a little bit, fuck around with friends, and then I'm like, well, that was fun. But the Mortal Kombat game and what this game promises is a pretty big single-player component, and that's what I'm looking forward to. And, of course, I'll probably, you know, screw around with friends and, you know, we'll have the Flash versus Green Lantern and stuff. It'll be fun.
Well, I could say, like, the Mortal Kombat game is great because I've played you know, the first three Mortal Kombat games, not like religiously. In fact, I don't think I ever owned any of them, but just at the arcade and friend's house and stuff growing up, definitely played enough of them and very familiar with the Mortal Kombat movies, for better or worse. And it did, the recent Mortal Kombat did a really good job of like retelling that whole story, like from the whole series, like it brought it all together. And it hit this like weird nostalgic note in me where I was like, I kind of remember all this nonsense that's going on here. Like, this makes sense to me. And I enjoyed that, even though, I mean, it's a campaign and a fighting game. I still really enjoyed it. And I can only imagine that with Injustice. I mean, you have DC Comics, you have all this history to build on. And if they can if they did that with a few Mortal Kombat games and in two shitty movies, like, I would imagine. And I know this is sort of an original storyline, I think. But still, like, there's a lot to draw
on. I don't want to, I guess, skip ahead, like, 2 minutes, if you don't want to be spoiled at all. But as far as I know, like, they have a couple comics leading up to it. But yeah, Scott, they're doing fucking crazy shit with this game.
Yeah.
It starts off where, like, Superman's tripping balls for some reason, and he thinks he's fighting Doomsday, but in reality, he's beating the shit out of a pregnant Lois Lane.
Oh my god!
So he's like, I'm gonna kill you, Doomsday, and he takes what he thinks is Doomsday up until out of the Earth's atmospheres to, you know, so we can't breathe anymore. And he's like, gets away from the stuff that's fucking with his head, and then he realizes that it's Lois Lane, and then he goes completely like batshit crazy and like becomes like a fascist dictator and gets like all the heroes to join up with him to make sure something like that never happens again. And I think that the only two people that are opposing him right now are, oddly enough, Batman and Harley Quinn.
Nice. And this is the story of Injustice.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, see, that alone, like, yeah. It's like, totally worth playing.
I haven't
playing,
read the
I
comic,
think.
But I heard about that, and, like, my jaw dropped, and I'm like, oh, shit, I need to play this game.
Yeah, and like I say, the Mortal Kombat 1 did a really good job of, like, drawing you into the story and actually making it fun to play. You know, yeah. It wasn't just the same, like, every match was, like, just one-on-one, and then you move, like, up the ladder to the next opponent. Like, it really did all kind of tie together, and there were different, like, you know, sometimes you'd fight two people at the same time, or there might have even been some where you had to just, like, survive for a certain amount of time and like, things of that nature. So applying that to this just sounds really cool, and that already sounds like a crazy-ass, like, story direction, so that's pretty cool. Neil, do you know if it has, like, the, like, challenge, I don't know what they called it, Mortal Kombat, but there's, like, you could play...
Like, the thing where there's, like, for each character, there's all that shit you can do?
Yeah.
I think so. Like, I know that, I played through Mortal Kombat, but I wasn't, like, super, super into it.
Yeah.
So I don't really know, like, what's totally different in that one. I haven't followed this game that closely.
Okay.
Enough to know that I want to play it.
If there's something like that, that'd be really cool, too. I mean, it was a sense, like...
I'm pretty sure there is.
It was essentially, like, Super Smash Brothers with those challenges. Like, just really weird requirements playing as different characters. So, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So, Tyler, you better get that, fight stick back.
Yeah. I maybe there's gonna be a moment where Superman's like, I knew it wasn't Doomsday the whole time. that's the end. That's the last panel of the comic, and you're like, what?
So retail wise, that's it for Wii U for April.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they just announced today on that same day, April 16th, we're getting Pandora's Tower.
Oh yeah. We are getting Pandora's Tower. I forgot about that because the Wii is a system that has been dead since like last February.
Uh-huh. That's being a little generous.
That is like niche Japanese game day. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's that, and then,
yeah, and
like,
then
Soul Hackers, but that's like,
Soul Hackers. Which we just put up a preview. Kim Keller, one of our newer staffers, is on the review for that game, and we should, I think, have something up around launch. I think she should be getting the review copy soon, but that game looks pretty awesome, and it's just more of that same Mega Ten sweet, sweet nectar. First person dungeon crawler, you talk to demons and you try to get them to join your team, and then like you fuse them and shit. And this is a remake of a Sega Saturn and PlayStation game that never came out in North America. Yeah,
it's awesome, and it has like the coolest street pass that I know I will not be able to take advantage of. And it's like there's like a monster that as you street pass it with other people, like it gets stronger. Like, oh, that sounds spectacular.
That sounds awesome.
And it's like I'll get one or something. I don't know. It'll be terrible.
That's why you need to go to PAX, Tyler.
There you go.
Okay,
dude, I got more than 100 Etrian Odyssey 4 street passes at PAX.
That's nuts, man. that's nuts.
But
I don't think you can really do anything with them. I got them.
But yeah, no, that'll be cool. I mean, it's like Mega 10 Christmas on 3DS right now, you know?
Yes, yes. That's what I made a comment to the Atlas PR rep, and then they tweeted about it. I got the reply when I was like, dude, it's like Mega 10 Christmas. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, can we use that in social media? And I'm like, sure.
Weird. That's an approval process. They did.
20 retweets and 8 favorites.
Wow. That's,
yeah. What did that? How did that reflect your bank account, Neil?
You know, I'm still broke. So not good. Would not do again.
Not worth it.
I probably would have made more money if I just sold my copy of Radiant Historia.
There you go.
And then for the rest of April, in the retail world, we have Lego City Undercover: The Chase Begins. Which I'm kind of interested in. I hope that there's a demo. I feel dumb that I didn't play the demo at PAX East. I honestly forgot it was there.
They definitely weren't showcasing that one as much as the Wii U version, which was already out. Which
Yeah, right. The Wii U version. Were there two consoles running the Wii U version, or was it just one?
I think so.
Yeah, and it, like, two huge TVs, like, prominently displayed right in the middle of the booth, and it kind of, like, tucked to the corner. It was like, oh, yeah, here's the 3DS one. That isn't out yet.
I think that's probably what we're going to see when the 3DS one comes out, is that it's just going to be tucked to the corner. Oh. Maybe they see the 3DS game as another reminder, being like, did you get the Wii U game? I mean, it looks like it'll probably be a, you know, a fun portable representation of the Wii U game, but I mean, it will deal with more limitations.
I think the
better load times, though.
Probably. I want to say the last few like Lego games that have been ported, well, not ported, but have come out like on the 3DS and even the DS have been fairly decent. Compared to their console counterparts,
smart downports of the console version.
Yeah.
Because I think I reviewed Lego Harry Potter years 5 through 7 on 3DS, like in like late 2011.
Yeah.
I don't really remember that game, but I don't remember it being bad. I remember it being fun.
Lego Batman 2 was fun, and that was on 3DS.
Lego Batman 2 is also coming out on Wii U on May 21st. So there's that.
Yay.
I'll be honest, I don't think I would spend a lot of money on it, but I would probably get Lego Batman 2 on Wii U after hearing Scott rave about
it. It's so good. I'm being sarcastic.
It would be a reason to play my Wii U.
Yeah.
And as long as I'm not paying $60 for it, like, I would be down.
I think I guess it was 60 when it came out. I was going to say, even when it came out on PS3 and Xbox, I think it was only 50, but maybe it was 60. Either way, it's anything under 40, I'd say it's, like, for sure must buy. But for you, Neil, specifically, being such a DC fan and having not played it. It's just so much good humor in it. But yeah, we'll see.
Do we know if it's going to support off-screen play?
It does.
I think it should,
yeah. Yeah, I wrote the preview for it, and it's like they're doing what's, like, one thing that's exclusive to it, a bunch, aside from, like, some ridiculous touchscreen stuff, like choosing characters or something. It's like that you can do the two-player co-op, and one person has the gamepad, and one person uses the TV.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. That's really smart. So that's awesome that someone's doing that.
That's actually really good, because the split screen in that game would get kind of wonky. It would
There is no split screen. Yeah, you can't do it.
Well, no, it would do split screen, but
no, sorry, I mean in the Wii U one. Like, I think. It has to be one person on gamepad, one person on TV.
That's going to be so much better.
Are they still going to hold the player so that they're on the same screen at the same time, though, or are they going to let them roam freely? You think?
In the game proper, like in the PS3 version, you could pretty much just roam, especially when you're out like in the open world areas in the city.
It was split screen?
Yeah, you could go to completely different places, but the split screen was just kind of terrible.
The last time I played a Lego game co-op, I think, was the Lego Batman or Lego Star Wars collection on
Wii. Oh, and they make you stay together, right?
Yeah.
What did they do? I think it was Lego Indiana Jones. They introduced the whole thing where, like, when you were on the same screen, you would be together, and it would kind of dynamically split the screen if you went away from each other.
And that's how it worked on PS3 and 360, Batman 2. But it just was kind of, like, wonky. Like, sometimes it wouldn't split right away, or it would split, like, in a weird way. Like, it doesn't just automatically cut, like, straight down the middle, either, like, vertically or horizontally. Like, sometimes it'll be this weird, like, diagonal split, and then, like, you can't get close enough to, like, make it go away. And, yeah, it was kind of tricky. But this sounds like the perfect fit. just to kind of jump ahead, I'm actually looking at the list for May now, and I know, like, the Wii U right now is, like, notorious for just ports, but looking at the release list for Wii U in the month of May, apart from Sniper Elite Version 2, which might be a port, actually, I don't even know, it's all ports.
Yeah, but I'm excited for two of them. Very excited.
Well, I guess those would be the two we haven't mentioned, right?
I think so. Deus Ex and Resident Evil.
Yeah, Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut, which is unofficially confirmed for May 7th. Retailers have it listed, but Square Enix is still being like, it's just coming out in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Even though their press release today said 2014, and they were just like, sorry, typo.
Typo. I mean, that looks pretty cool, but once again, for $60, I mean, like, I own this game on 360. Like, as much as all the additions for Wii U, like, as much as they're really cool, like, I can go out right now and get this game for under $20 on any other system.
Yep.
But for me, who hasn't played the other versions of it, this is still probably the best way to go, I think.
For $60?
Maybe. Well, did they say it's 60 at launch?
No, they haven't said. They haven't said anything about price. I think when it was originally listed on Amazon, it was at 50, and then that pricing's gone now, I'm pretty sure. So we'll see. I wrote some impressions for this. I got to play it at PAX, and I'm kind of like split. Like, if you don't have another way of playing this game, you know, you just own the Wii U, don't own a PC or any of the other platforms, then, like, for sure, this is worth playing if you're all interested in it. Like, the definitive version, there's no reason to pass it up. It's not like a shitty port. I mean, it runs well, and it's really great. If you have access to other platforms, I'm kind of just waiting and seeing. We'll see when the review comes how that additional content sort of impacts the game as a whole. If it improves the game, it makes it just a better experience, then it might be worth paying, you know, an extra 20 or 30, for this version. We'll see.
It's weird. I'm not, like, free-flowing with money or something. Like, it's not like I'm, like, drowning in riches, but there's just something where it's like, I always intended to pick it up, and even though I know I can just get it for, like, $20, like, I'm just playing my Wii U a lot right now, and off TV play, I'm like, okay, like, I would have bought it when it came out, but I didn't.
Off TV play is like a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, so, like, that's why I want it. And I like the and what the improvements seem to address a lot of issues. So it's like, well, I would have paid, you know, $50 or $60 at one point for it if I would have picked it up. So it's new to me, so whatever. I can play it on my PS3 360, but I'm not. So I don't care. I'll just pay full price, like, which is probably exactly what Square wants to hear and no one else wants to hear. But I'm just like, whatever. Yep. Like, if I'm buying Atlas games and not playing them for, like, years after they come out just so I can make sure I have it, I think I can afford to buy Deus Ex. So
I think where I kind of lose it with these ports is the fact that there's three in, like, you know, a 2 week span.
It's a weird month.
And I couldn't justify, like, I kind of want all of them for certain reasons. I mean, we already talked about Lego Batman and Deus Ex, and the Wii U additions for them are stuff that's worthwhile to me. Uh-huh. But I think it's still, for a lot of them, I'll wait until they're a little cheaper, which in this day and age will be like 2 weeks. But Resident Evil Revelations is the third one. And that has some really cool Wii U additions. They have some fun Miiverse stuff. And for me, I think that the deal breaker for Resident Evil Revelations as to whether I'll even consider it is if people get really into raid mode on the Wii U online. Mm-hmm. Because that was the most fun that I had with Revelations. I didn't finish the story on 3DS. It kind of lost me after a while. But I really enjoyed raid mode. And the few times I played online, I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I would assume, since Capcom also did Monster Hunter 3 on Wii U, that has voice chat built into the gamepad, then they'll probably do the same with Resident Evil Revelations. And that's kind of great.
Yeah. I'm super pumped for it. Like, and I, you know, I played through it. I played the shit out of raid mode. I guess it's just like the friend list I've built up on my 3DS, and just like the infrastructure on the Wii U. Like, I just expect a lot more out of raid mode this time around. Like, just like voice chat alone. Like, there's a few times where, like, it was like, what are we supposed to do next? Like, and like me and like one, like, I would just go around in circles just trying to find the stupid thing we're supposed to find. And it seems like they're putting a lot of effort into it. The Wii U exclusive stuff is like, kind of whack. Like, it's like, it's okay. It's like, oh, cool, you're making a conscious effort. But it's like, oh, the zombies will, like, you can make them say weird things, which I think will actually probably be pretty awesome. Like, you can have little text bubbles.
I mean, Zombie U proved that making zombies have personality from your friends.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so it'll be good.
Because then you're like, I'm bashing Andy's head in with a crowbar. Like, or I guess cricket bat.
So, that's and right. It worked really, I don't care. I'll play it again, and there's new enemies and stuff. So, and it looks really great. So, and off screen TV to play. So,
yeah. And the one kind of wild card game throughout this entire Q2 is whatever the shit Nintendo is going to plan on releasing. And I weren't for the fact that we got this from a Twitter recommendation about 10 minutes before recording, I probably would have looked up to see when we got the Q2 press release last year, which I can't even think of what the hell came out in May and June. I guess it was Mario Tennis. But it just, we don't know anything about when the next Nintendo games are coming out on Wii U now. We have a pretty good scope on their 3DS output because, I mean, we already talked about LEGO City Undercover, and we'll talk about Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D and Animal Crossing New Leaf in just a bit. But, I mean, that is 3DS Q2 from Nintendo. On Wii U, we have nothing. I think it's very likely and logical that Game & Wario will come out in Q2, but because we haven't heard anything about it, what it kind of seemed like a slam dunk April release. It's already out in Japan. It came out in the last week of March. But it doesn't look like it's going to come out in April unless Nintendo wants to Excitebots the shit out of it. And then, other than that, we haven't heard a damn thing about any, I guess, forward progress on Pikmin 3 or Wii Fit U or even the Wonderful 101. You know, Patrick Scott and I were at PAX East, and they had the same goddamn fucking demos for Pikmin 3 and the Wonderful 101 that they've had since E3. Like, I think PAX East was no joke, like, the fourth event that I've seen some of those demos. And some of those were public events like New York Comic Con. Like, it's kind of embarrassing that they just don't have anything else to show from those games. And they're all, when last we heard, are coming out before the end of June. And I'm sorry, that's a bold-faced lie. Like, Nintendo, as a corporate entity, you spoon-fed us bullshit saying that those games are going to come out in the launch window. You spoon-fed us more bullshit saying that they were coming out in the first half of the year. If Wii Fit U, Pikmin 3, and the Wonderful 101 all come out before the end of June, I think it might be a miracle and would also be dumb because you'd probably be, you know, smashing four releases within a six-week period around E3.
I think Wonderful 101 has the strongest chance of coming out before June. I think that and Game & Wario are probably going to be two games, maybe a May and June release for both of those.
Yeah.
Pikmin 3 and Wii Fit U, I think, are definitely pushed back, maybe July, August.
I don't know what to think.
I mean, and remember, we still have Wii U Party. I mean, I think it'll be completely fucking absurd if Pikmin 3 is like a fall release this year, and I think that's what we're kind of looking at. At best, I think it's like August.
It's weird. Yeah, it's funny because on like the Wii U eShop in like the coming soon section, it was like, I think like a week or two ago, it was like Wonderful 101 coming soon, and you're like, oh my god, like maybe it's coming soon, and now it's been replaced by like Wario, Game & Wario, so you're like, oh, I don't even know what's going on. It's so weird. Like, they just throw coming soon down there for like anything. It's crazy.
They should just put games. They should just spell games and just put coming soon.
Games, we promise.
Yeah.
I was at Target today and I looked at the
swear to God, guys.
I was at Target today and was looking at the Wii U section, and it's just the saddest piece of shit section I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I was in Nintendo fucking World Store today, and I looked at the Wii U section. I'm like, this is so depressing. And I looked at that 3DS section. I'm just smiling because like I haven't really seen a box copy of Luigi's Mansion out in the open because I have the digital version. I haven't really been out to too many stores. I'm like, oh, and look at that, and there's Fire Emblem. I'm like, oh, the 3DS is so nice. And I went upstairs to the Wii U. And, like, they have all these kiosks, and it's just, like, people aren't playing them, or they just have, like, LEGO City at the pause menu. And it's not that people weren't there. I just think people didn't give a shit.
At the Target I was at, the two games that were sold out, or at least just weren't in stock for some reason, were whatever the NBA game is that's out, and then Wheel of Fortune. So, I don't know what that says about the people
I
in my area.
LEGO City's in stores.
Or what, but... not good. Yeah. So.
So yeah, I mean, it's Wii U is looking kind of rough retail wise. I actually wrote a blog post about why I'm really stoked for Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D. I will be there with bells on for this game. I actually did kidnap my copy back from my brother recently. But yeah, I'm really excited for Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D. How about you guys?
I'm not really, because I played the Wii version and I don't think there's enough there to warrant purchasing the 3DS one.
Well, all that's there is the Wii game, right?
I know. I was hoping they'd confirm like new levels or something that they added that would make it at least worth it to me. But nope.
Yeah, same here. I've played that game through 2 times, maybe even 3 times, like completely, so I have no need for this.
I played through it once with my wife, and now I'm like, oh, I'll just do it by myself. I remember like watching the trailer and being like, I don't remember any of these levels. So it's been long enough for me that I'm like, I will totally buy it again, because I'm a weirdo. It's
a very good game, though. I mean, if anyone missed it the first time around, there's no reason not to pick up this version of it. It might be better suited for a mobile platform. I don't know.
That's what I'm kind of excited for. I just straight up play games more on the 3DS. Part of what I talked about in my blog is that Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, or the first game on Wii, the original game, it came out at a time when the Wii was starting to fade for me. Because after that, like, that was, you know, the first half of 2011, I don't think there was, like, Mario Sports Mix might have been it for, like, 6 months, which I didn't give a shit about. But, like, that was the time when I stopped playing my Wii that much. I think it was also around when 3DS came out, too, so I went more towards that. And I think the only reason I got the game was that I think I got some shitty game for Christmas that I didn't want, and then I returned it for store credit and bought Donkey Kong Country Returns. And I enjoyed what I played a lot, but I just didn't get through it.
Yeah, that seems to be most people's, like, story. Well, except for Patrick and Tyler, I guess. But I feel like when we've had, like, Zach on and Mike on, like, everyone's like, yeah, I kind of played it, but never really finished it. Yep. So
what?
What? Disgusting. But yeah, awesome game. Wish there was new content. But
following up with what we were talking about when Nintendo announced their Q2 lineup before, Mario Tennis Open was dated at the end of February. So yeah, I'm very pessimistic about anything good coming out on the Wii U for May for April and May at this point.
Jesus. Hooray! Well, you know
the Wii U eShop.
Yeah, well, and you know what could really kind of hide all this is if they finally launch the virtual console for real. Won't make it all go away
this month.
Well, yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
So we'll see, and we'll see what's available. It'll also to develop, you know, depend, like, is everything that was on the Wii going to be available day one with Wii U, you know, features?
No.
Right. No, I don't think so. So are we just going to get the same trickling out of, like, a few games a week again? I mean, I don't know. If it launched with a full store with just all kinds of content, I think that would be great. And you'd forget a lot about this lack of new content, at least within store shelves. But that probably won't be the case. I wouldn't be surprised if it's just all 5 games that they've already been selling for 30 cents, just available again and for a higher price.
Well, I guess it's like $5. We'll see the fourth one. The fourth one's Kirby's Adventure, which is coming out I guess the middle of the month.
I may actually play that one for more than 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I'll totally, like, I'll romp through Punch Out. Like, I got through the first circuit or two because I got it. It was, like, right before PAX East, so I just haven't really gone back to it.
Yeah.
And then I guess the last thing to talk about is Animal Crossing, which, I mean, we won't go too in-depth. There will be lots of Animal Crossing love in the future, but I will be getting this game, no doubt, for sure, despite never really enjoying an Animal Crossing game, because I play the shit out of my 3DS and I will check this shit every day.
That may be the first game I get digitally. My first retail digital game.
Ooh.
You haven't gotten any others digitally?
Get out of here. Well,
I have a copy. My Etrian Odyssey copy is digital, but that was a review copy.
That wasn't by choice.
Yeah. Choice would have been retail on that one.
And then we've got some eShop stuff coming out. Dylan's Rolling Western, The Last Ranger, will be out next week, April 11th, which...
Neil's most anticipated game.
I don't care. Did anyone else play Dylan's Rolling Western and like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Cool.
Get off the show.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not like tower defense. Like, I don't have like a lot of experience with it. And it was like kind of, I think like Starship Defense is like my only other one. So I don't know. I kind of dug it. I don't know. I know it's not the best, but I dug it. I had
fun with it. If they clean some stuff up in the sequel, I might consider looking into it. Because there was a lot that I liked about it, but it just, it was very repetitive, and I did not like the controls too much. But then again, I also didn't like Phantom Hourglass, but really liked Spirit Tracks, because they refined the controls and fixed up some of the dumb gameplay mechanics that I didn't enjoy.
Awesome.
Yeah. And Mario and DK, I forget what the subtitle is. I feel like a terrible host right now.
Something with minis.
Buds now,
Raleigh.
I think it is. Yeah.
but I'm super, super excited for that game. I don't know about you guys.
No.
Really?
I think really? I really just like the first one, for Game Boy Advance, because it was more like Donkey Kong 94. And then it was like more about like controlling the robots and stuff. I really lost interest in it at that point.
Yeah. It is
Minis
Mario
on the move.
Yeah.
Minis on the move.
Minis on the move. Oh, they all blend together. But, like, this one looks weird and, like, different, so I'll definitely be open to it. I just didn't like the DS entries, like, at all. I just like the one Game Advance one.
I don't know when this is coming out. I would assume either, like, at the earliest, probably the end of April, but more likely May. Yeah. But the one thing about it is that we will probably hear something more about it, because I think Aaron and maybe Carmine... we'll be going to a 3DS event that Nintendo is going to be hosting in a few weeks. I forget the exact date. I want to say like 2 weeks from now or something like that. And I would assume they'll be playing Lego City, Donkey Kong Country, Animal Crossing, and probably Dylan's and Mario and Donkey Kong, and some other probably eShop downloadable stuff too.
Do you think it's safe to say that there will be a Nintendo Direct probably right before that event?
Right around it, I would assume.
Okay.
They might reveal more stuff, or reveal more details on the same day or something.
Or reveal new games that they can then play at that event,
maybe
a couple days
later.
That
would be smart. Mm-hmm. And then on the Wii U eShop, I think we're getting that Spin the Bottle game, which I think Aaron talked to the developers at GDC, and that's just stuff where it's like you don't even need the TV. You just spin the bottle on the gamepad and stuff.
I'll have to have you guys over.
Mutant Muds Deluxe is coming out in May or June, and we saw that at PAX East, and I'm very, very excited to rebuy that game and play the new stuff.
Yeah, I know with that one, like with the 3DS one, like with the update, I started playing it, and they're like, "Oh yeah, Deluxe is coming out." So I totally stopped playing the Granny levels because I'm like, I need something new. Because at that time, it wasn't like confirmed there'd be new stuff, and I didn't want to do like a Mighty Switch Force where I buy it and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to play this. I've already done all this. So it's I'm really excited to dig into the Granny stuff. But I probably got to beat the game again.
And then Tokitori 2 will be out by the time you hear this. And I've actually been playing that. Guillaume will have a review for Nintendo World Report that will be up before you hear this. I'm reviewing it for Nintendo Force, but it's for our like May issue, so you won't read it for like a month and a half. just the way our schedule works. But I've been enjoying Tokitori 2. It's fucking gorgeous and beautiful, and I love the environments and the music, but the puzzles are some of the most obtuse bullshit I've ever seen in a video game. And they tout how it's a Metroidvania, and it's not a Metroidvania, it's like a Metroid 1 game. Because that's what I'm reminded of more. And it's not that it's bad, it's just that, like, I think it's like Paper Mario Sticker Star in the fact that you'll get to an area and, okay, you could bang your head against a wall for like an hour, or you could just go online and figure out how to solve the really tough puzzle. Because some of the things are really, really tricky to do. It does a decently good job at kind of organically telling you how to do different things, which is really awesome. It is that kind of Super Metroid idea of having like the things showing you how to wall jump. And it succeeds at doing that a lot of the time, but there's just some moments where I'm at a point in the game and I just have no idea where to go. Because you basically get through this area and you kind of like reach a point where then you can warp around, and they give you very vague hints as to where you need to go next. And it's just not enough. Like, they should have had a super guide for this game.
Does it, you're playing it on a retail unit, so like, does it hang when you hit the home button? It'd be awesome if it didn't. I feel like that's a legitimate concern now with like everything. Like every game now, I had to be like, oh, is it gonna have that?
Oh wait, you mean if it freezes?
Yeah, like does it have that or no?
It hasn't. It hasn't.
Woohoo! That's like big news. Like that should be like a pro in the review. Or like one of the few new games that
does not freeze.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because there's only like two new games, so.
But I'm looking forward to it, and it's a bummer. But maybe it'll be like trying to, where I'm just like, what the fuck do I do here, guys, on Miiverse? And then people are like,
"Yeah,
hey, dummy."
Yeah, I mean, that's why, like, in all honesty, I'm kind of excited for more people to get the game. So that way I can use Miiverse
in that regard.
It's just
you and Guillaume, and Guillaume's like, hasn't even checked. You're like waiting for him to check.
Yeah, Guillaume and I actually had a little bit of a back and forth where we're just like, dude, what the fuck? And you should see his review, because I know him and his girlfriend like spent a night trying to figure out stuff in the game, and like there is in the review a doodle that his girlfriend made to try to solve a puzzle. It's kind of amazing.
I think he put on Twitter that he spent 4 hours on one of the puzzles in the game.
Oh my god!
I've been like, oh, I'll try to get to the next area, and then I'll be there like for an hour on one puzzle, and it's cool. And like I love the setting and everything. Like there's so much that I like about this game. But there's just that one big part where it's every now and then you get to this puzzle where you're just like, holy crap, game. Like, they're not even a clue?
If it's that hard, people are going to start making Dark Souls, unfair Dark Souls comparisons, because that's like the cool thing to do. So hard, it's like Dark Souls.
Any game that's difficult where you die a lot. It's Dark Souls, right? Right, guys? I guess let's talk about some other games that people have been playing. How about Tyler, you tell us about Most Wanted You.
Oh my god. Like, guys, this game is so good. I think a problem that it has is that people are like, oh, port. And it's like, yeah, I know. It's been like 6 months or something. I don't know, since it came out. It just came out like late last year. But it's like, get over that, because this game is like incredible. And it's like bringing out like, it's like a racing game, but it's like a platformer. It's just like everything like that I want. And like what brings it all together is like the game's like Autolog. And what that is like it just tracks all your friends. Like anyone that's playing, instantly things show up. So everyone's like addicted with like Runner 2. Like you'll see Patrick on top of your leaderboard and you're like, this fucking guy, like how am I going to beat his score? And like everyone, you know, Patrick's like, it's real easy. Like it's not even that hard to beat me, but whatever. It is hard. But this one, it's cool because it shows like everyone, and it's not just like, here's number one. Can you get number one? Can you beat this race in 1 minute? It's like, well, here's a buddy of yours who's like in fifth place. Can you beat him? Here's a guy who's in third place. Can you beat him? So it's really like encouraging that way, and it's a lot better. But like, it's not just racing, and this is what I like the most about it, is I tool around in Fairhaven, which is the city. So this game, it's not like a point-to-point racing game. Like, it's not like, oh, pick your race and go race on that track. It's like, it gives you like this whole city to navigate. It's really beautiful. It's well-built. There's like a crazy filter where like dirt builds up on the screen. It looks like looking through a dirty window. It's just like a stunning game. Like, it'll blow you away. And you drive like real-world cars, drive around, crash, there's traffic, there's a day and night cycle. Anyways, but as you drive around, there's like billboards and there's fences, and the billboards show when you see a billboard, it's like it's all like developers and stuff, like DICE, it's all EA people, you know, whatever. But anyways,
it's not like ATV where it's Mutant Muds and Bomb Monkey
over and
everywhere.
Over again. No, but it is, but it actually is the same developers over and over again. It's like I said, okay. Like DICE and the Dead Space guys. I can't remember their name. I don't know why that word's not coming to my head. Visceral.
Visceral.
Yeah, so anyway, so you smash through them, and then you look back, and it'll be a picture on it. If you drove the furthest off from that billboard, it'll be your Mii's face, but if it's someone else, it'll be their face. So, like,
Holy shit, that's awesome.
It's amazing. And it's like, you just drive around, you're like, wait, that's not my face. And then you're like, okay, well, it's up there. So, and this is where, like, the platforming comes into play, where you're like, okay, well, that's, like, a level up. Like, how do I get up there? Like, it's on top of some weird cargo ship. Like, I don't understand it. So then you kind of like work your way backwards. Like, you got to find where eventually, like, there's an on ramp, and then you'll find a little detour off of that, and that finally gets you to that spot. But the best part is like, as you're doing that, you're going to find, like, something else to do. And it's like, there's just so much going on, and there's so much to do, that you're just constantly just always having fun. And I'm, like, not even racing that much. All I'm doing is driving around, and there's someone in particular that when I see they're me, I'm like, nope, I can't let this go. I am going to find the best car, and I'm going to drive through this and make it my face, and hopefully he'll see it and understand that I had a vendetta, and I set out to take him down. But, like, what's cool about the game is, like, something that they've done since, like, Burnout Paradise, developer's Criterion, is that it's, like, easy drive. And by pressing right on the D-pad, and you bring up this menu, and just by going up and down and pressing right, you can, like, change your car. There's a there's an autolog recommends, which is just like, hey, your buddy got this time on this race. Do you want to try to do it? You can, like, you can change your car. So a big part of this game is that there's police. And they'll, like, you know, they'll try to take you out and stuff like that. You got various levels, kind of like GTA, where the more you do, the more that you hurt the police officers, they'll try to get you, they'll build a bigger army. But what's cool is, like, you can modify your car, and you can make it have, like, reinflating tires. And so when they lay out a spike strip, you can go over it, and it's just like, your tires reinflate instantly. And then, like, the game will track how long the police are tracking you down, and that in itself is also a leaderboard. So it's just like you're just constantly competing with friends, and like there's like things that measure your speed as you go down the highway, like, and measure how fast you're going, and that compares you against your friends. It's just like spectacular in that sense. Like I just tool around the city forever, and then I lose my way, and I just find something else to do. It's like, it's probably, it's like one of the best Wii games I've played. Like, it's just phenomenal.
I'm really sad that I missed the sale on EA's website for
$30. I literally just checked to see if it was still there.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like, people caught it, and they did get it, but it seemed like it was, like, I don't know, like, it's like it was part of a sale or something. It just seemed like such a weird price, and that they changed it over so quickly. It was really, really bizarre. And I think people were getting receipts, and it showed the full price on the receipts, like, even though they paid $30 on it. So it was really, really bizarre. But it's too bad. Like, it's like, I'm really weird, and I got the game for review. And, like, Neil's like, Tyler, I won't have a case. And I was like, forget it. I need the case. So I just, like, went out and bought it because I didn't even want to wait for the review copy to come in. Like, I was like, I can't wait.
So what are you doing with that extra copy?
Oh, I don't know. I just got – I may have sold it already, unfortunately. So I'm a total turd. But anyways, now I feel really bad. But yeah.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Need for Speed Most Wanted is amazing. Everyone should check it out. The review's going to be out, like, really soon. So, yeah, my review, yeah.
Yep. Cool. So Patrick, I know that you were, well, I guess just a savant in a lot of games, but you got hardcore into Zen Pinball 3D.
How
is Zen Pinball 2 on Wii U?
Well, the only table I got so far on Zen Pinball 2 was, the same table that was in Zen Pinball 3D, the Excalibur table.
I love Excalibur.
Because at one point I was the first place on the 3D table on the leaderboard. So I was like, maybe I can recreate my, success. And turns out I cannot, because the physics in this game are just, I don't know what it is about them, but I can't pull off the same tricks that I did in the 3D version. In particular, I used to use the left flipper to get up to the multi-ball ramp, and I would just do that over and over and over again, and then just keep repeating multi-ball, and I can't do it anymore. It just is incapable of making that, I guess, ramp up. And yeah. It's kind of sad because I think in a lot of ways the game is harder, and I guess it's more like real pinball in that you lose not because of you, but because of the game's physics, where yeah. There's always the things on the left and right where the ball can go down and you don't have any way to get to it, and that's how I lose all of my balls. They always go down those ramps.
I know I played the demos for all the Marvel tables, and eventually I'll probably, you know, buckle down and buy a few of them. But I really love the way that game looks on the gamepad.
Oh, it looks great and off yeah. TV play. I don't know if you noticed switching between the TV and the gamepad. I think it's really cool. You just kind of swipe your finger yeah. back and forth.
Sonic Racing did the same kind of thing, except for okay. this one's actually intuitive. The Sonic Racing one, I thought it didn't have off TV play for a long time.
Mm.
I'm like, wait a minute, it does? Someone told me on Twitter, and I looked into it. I was like, oh, I wish they told me that.
The first time I did it, it was just this kind of reaction in me where I just kept flipping it back and forth. For,
same here.
It was just so amazing to see it do that. But, yeah, there's so many tables on that store that you can buy, which...
I think 24 yeah. are out right now.
The only
I
real
can't
problem...
wait for the Star Wars ones to come out.
it's really unintuitive to buy the tables. You have to go into the Wii U eShop to do it. And you don't just buy the table. Like, there's – you have to buy the trial, which is free, and then you have to buy the table, which is like the $3 or whatever it is. And I had first downloaded – I had bought the $3 pack, and I installed it, and then nothing happened. And I spent 30 minutes trying to figure out why did the eShop take my money and not
– Those sons of bitches.
Yeah. But, yeah, I figured it all out, and it's really good. I mean, it's still fun. It's still Zen Pinball. You should definitely check it out, since you can get one table for $3 or just try out the demos.
Yeah, or you can get, I think, a pack of four or three. Or no, it's a pack of four for 10, I think.
There's a couple, which... Yeah.
But, yep. So that's out now. Go check it out, and we'll probably be coming back to it whenever we get new tables, I would assume. But BioShock Infinite is a game. That Scott and I are playing. Scott, how are you enjoying BioShock Infinite?
I tweeted about this yesterday. Like, I'm kind of having like a weird like love-hate relationship with it, I guess.
I think we're on the same page as per our conversation on Twitter yesterday.
Yes, exactly. Let's just reread our tweets. Can we do that? I'll be you and you be me.
Okay. I need to get open Twitter.
Okay, hold on. I've got it on my phone here. Let me go back to my at replies. Very popular, so you're going to be near the bottom now. It's been almost 24 hours, so I'm sure I've got 8,000 things on here. Okay, I'm ready when you are.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
Well, no, you're first because you're me.
Oh, wait. I don't have your tweets up. Shit's tough, man, because you never at reply. Well, actually, no, never mind. I found the conversation. So I'm you?
Yeah, you're me. Go ahead.
Weird roller coaster relationship with BioShock. Love the look. Tired of all the shooting. Still wondering about impact of social climate.
And then you replied shortly thereafter, I've really dug it, but yeah, it's all shooty, and I wish it was more puzzly. I guess when it comes down to it, I just wish BioShock Infinite was Metroid Prime. The end.
What a conversation.
And scene.
I mean, it's just very bizarre. Like, starting the game, I fell in love with it instantly. I mean, looks amazing.
That intro is so cool.
It's so cool. The way it
brings you into that world is fucking awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, and it just looks great. I mean, it's so refreshing to play a modern, really well-designed, like, graphically impressive game that uses a full color palette and like isn't just like dark and brown and ugly, you know. Like you're in this just beautiful floating city and there's all these colors and all these people and there's just so much going on. It just feels like a really great alive place, and it's so fun. I mean, you really spend the first hour just walking around. I mean, just sort of exploring that.
You don't shoot for a while, and I mean, I don't want to get into too many details, but there is the moment when combat is introduced into that game is probably my favorite moment in the game. It's so fucking cool. Although I admittedly I'm only like 4 or 5 hours into it. I think I'm about halfway through, so I haven't seen any twists or anything yet.
Yeah, I'm about 5 hours in myself, so we're probably about the same point. I think I'm going there. I just got the shock power and have to go activate the gondola. So I think that's probably where
I'm going. Yeah, I think I'm like half an hour ahead of you or something.
Okay, yeah. But I loved it. But see, it's funny you say that the part where you first get into combat like was awesome for you. And it's a shocking moment. But I felt like this weird disconnect. It just was such a sudden change out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so gruesome, really. I mean, I guess light spoilers for BioShock, maybe. I mean, we're not going to talk.
Yeah,
neither of us has even like beaten it. So,
hour,
like,
yeah, it's like hour two, maybe. I mean, if you're really that skittish, skip ahead like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah. But so you do nothing for the first hour except explore. I mean, you're having conversations with people. You're just enjoying this world. And then all
trying to basically figure out what the fuck is going on.
Right. And then all of a sudden, people take notice of you and realize that you have this branding on your hand that's been, like, prophesized to be the branding of, like, the great betrayer who's going to, like, ruin this whole city, this whole utopia that they've built. Yeah. And so the moment that happens, these guards come and they're ready to just, like, kill you. And you grab their, like, heinous, like, melee weapon from them, which is just this like spinning thing with like
it's like a drill that you also use as a grappling hook.
Yeah, and you grab it from them, and then you drive it into this guy's face and just like cut his head open, basically. And it's just this like juxtaposition. And not that I'm opposed to violence, but I was really enjoying just like having fun and exploring. And then there's just this sudden outburst of violence, and then I feel like the game never really goes back from that.
I thought that moment was very cool, but definitely shortly after that, once the combat started, and it was just kind of like, oh, it's BioShock combat. I mean, the only cool stuff that I found is that, you know, you do have those moments where, and actually I think the combat scene that you're about to get to, you can use, like, there's like basically, you use your grappling hook and you kind of like glide around these magnetized tracks. And you can do that in combat. And that's kind of the only thing that I found is, like, largely different from BioShock.
Yeah.
As far as combat-wise, is that you have more open environments, which is kind of cool. But even still, I've gotten to a point where it's not even like I've had that, like, great of trouble with the game. But I might just turn it down to easy and rock through the rest of the game and just enjoy the story. Because that's what I'm in it for, is to see, you know, what ridiculous shit happens in the back half of this game and see the world that they created. That's what I care about. I've gotten to a point where the combat's just devolved into me using Murder of Crows on people and then like shooting them with whatever gun I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's gotten to a point where, I mean, there's always like there's, you know, like fucking George Washington robots that you fight that are really cool. But the first time you fight them, it's really cool. And then you fight them again, and you're like, okay, I already fought one of these fucking things.
Right, and then they keep coming. And same with some of the other bosses, like the crow boss that you get the crow power from, and then the firefighter who you get the fire power from. You know, it's like you fight them once, and it's cool. And then they just sort of keep coming back. And, yeah, I just feel like the combat is just a grind at this point. Like, it's just not really all that fun to me. And I'm not a huge fan of first-person shooters to begin with, which maybe that's
same here
the problem. But yeah, I don't know. So I've got this weird like dichotomy in my head where I really enjoy the look of the game and the world that's been created, but I'm not having that much fun like actually traversing it because I keep having to stop and just have these shootouts with enemies. And like you said, it's not like they're challenging, but they just feel like they're wasting time, you know? Like, yeah. and when you die, you just are revived right where you're at, or at least nearby.
The same kind of thing as BioShock.
Right, right.
Except for this time, there's a monetary hit, but even that's negligible.
Right.
Really, honestly, playing this game and our conversation that we so wonderfully reenacted, I think probably after this, it might not happen right away, but I think I might go back and replay a Metroid Prime game. Because I think that's just like that's what's missing from first person shooters that I've been kind of not really into. Like even Halo 4, like I was really into that for about like 4 missions, and then it was just kind of like, oh, it's a Halo game. Because I mean, that's what that game does, is that, you know, it brings you into this new world where you're fighting these new enemies, and then it's just like, yeah, that was cool, now just go back and fight the Flood again,
yeah,
or fight the Covenant or whatever. And that just, like, it lost me, because I'm just like, I just feel like I've done this all before. And that was the one thing with all 3 Metroid Prime games, is that playing them all, like, okay, they're very similar in what they're doing, but they're all still really different. Like, the first one, people can say, is just Super Metroid in 3D. The second one, Love It or Hate It, has, like, the, you know, the cool light-dark mechanic, and has that going for it. And the third one is a little more segmented, has some different environments, actually has a sky area that is very reminiscent, or I guess BioShock Infinite's Columbia is very reminiscent of the sky area.
We even do the same thing, like floating across, like, you know, like different platforms and stuff with like a grappling hook.
But even like 3 was different in the way it kind of was structured, and I really like that about all 3 of those games, even though I'm not quite as over the moon about them as a lot of other people are. Like, Metroid Prime is not my game of the decade, despite it being Nintendo World Reports for 2001 to 2010. I think I just want to play the Metroid Prime games.
Yeah.
Smash Infinite. But after that, I think the next first-person shooter I play will be Deus Ex and then Metroid Prime.
There you go. Yeah, it has me... It's funny, but playing it similarly to you, it has me just really, really amped for the next Metroid or Zelda game that's in HD and on the Wii U. Because I think these types of worlds... Now, granted, there's a lot of... I mean, the creativity behind the creation of Columbia is... Like, it's just awesome. It's outstanding.
Pop songs remade in the 1912 style. It's so cool.
I mean, it's not like it's just because it's using a brighter color palette that that's what's doing. I mean, it's really well designed, but still, just looking at it, and it gets me so excited for what Nintendo could do with their hardware, creating a kind of world like this for either, you know, a Metroid or a Zelda game. So, yeah. But... Yeah, I don't know. And then I'm interested to see, you know, as it wraps up, how the sort of, like, racial and social stuff plays out. I really didn't even know that was a part of the game at all.
Neither did I, until it was just like, oh, the rebels are all black people.
Right.
It's like, they're slaves.
Yeah, and as you're playing, you...
I wonder if it's going to bite me in the ass, but when I did go through, like, the slave work area, I just went into a room and shot a dude and...
What? Are you serious?
Well, like, I was exploring, like, because basically, like, you go down to this area, it might actually be, it might be a little ahead of where you're at. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I thought you meant, like, early on when you go to, like, you find house and there's, like, slaves, like,
I think it's, like, the next place that you go to.
Okay.
And it's, like, you go to this area where there's a bunch of slaves working, and I just found my way, like, into this room where there was, like, just like a slave guard guy just chilling out there, and like it had the icon that like if I stole this I would be stealing, or if I grabbed something I would be stealing from this guy, and I was like, well, fuck that, I want some money. So I just killed him and then just walked away.
Wow.
And like people were like, we need to stop him, and I just kept on walking to the next objective.
Wow, you monster.
Yeah,
but
I have a dark streak. I had a town in Fable 2 that just I would walk into it and they'd all try to kill me because I think my male character got married to a dude and then I murdered him.
Very good.
Like it was accidental. It was just like I spent time with this guy, but
yeah. So
there's probably some deep dark secret about my life. Just
the evil person.
Then I got in a three-way and it was Fable 2 was fun, but anyway.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm interested to see how it plays out. Right now, it feels kind of like window dressing. Like, it shocked me at first, and it kind of adds this, like, disturbing edge to Columbia, where it's like, you think it's this great, wonderful place, and then as you get, like, deeper and deeper into it, you realize that it's, like, built on the foundations of racism and slavery and classism.
Yeah.
But it's like, right now, I feel like that's all kind of in the background. Like, no one really comments on it. And, like Booker, the guy you're playing as, doesn't really seem interested at all in what's going on.
Granted, I think that's just the way it is.
What?
I think that's just the way it is that it's just in the background.
Right, and, like, granted, he's a product of his time. Like, he's not going to come here. I mean, he's obviously lived through slavery, and he's not going to necessarily come here and be like, these reprehensible people or something. But I'm hoping, I don't know, that it has something more to do than just, like, these are why these guys are bad and why you need to fight them is because they're racist. You know, it is different in the original BioShock where it's like, these are crazy, like quasi, like zombie, just crazy people, you know, like that. These are really just fucked up monsters at this point who are trying to kill you. And in this game, it's like, they're just some racists who live in the sky. Not that racism's fine, but it's like, it's when I'm brutalizing people with these, you know, that grappling hook in the beginning, it's like, well, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just kind of bizarre for me. It's just interesting. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping for some kind of payoff, but it probably won't happen.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, I've been enjoying it still, but I think that'll be about it for this segment. We didn't get to all the games that we have been playing. Wait until the next time that we talk to hear more about LEGO City Undercover and Luigi's Mansion, as we've all gotten our hands on them, and we'll probably dedicate a lot of time to them, because those are kind of the major Nintendo releases for a while. So, yeah.
Cool.
That is what you've been playing, and you know, you too. Thanks for listening.
Right. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget to send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and please rate and review the show on iTunes.